The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 8th day of January, 2026. It's right now, 2026. And tonight, well, he had a root canal today just because he could.
Just for fun.
That's our producer style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
And he didn't even take any pain medicine.
That's right.
Just grit and bear.
Yep. And he's here. He showed up even though he was in all that pain because he knew he was needed, right?
That's right.
Right.
And so, anyhow, tonight we have here live in the studio, for over half a century, he's been a preacher, a teacher, and a godly statesman and a good friend, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And he's always there when you need him. He's always there whenever you need him. Whenever I call upon him, he is our own Elder Randall Barkley.
Good evening, everyone. God is in control.
And so, and she, well, for her health, she does way more than she should be able to do. We're always amazed. We're absolutely amazed at the amount of work that we get out of her. She's called Little Lisa. She's had COPD for almost her whole life. She's a studio marm. We call her Walkin' Talkin' Lisa. In fact, they named a walkie-talkie after her.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, good evening, everyone.
There you go. And he's way out there. He showed up. He was a little bit late, so I got out and started texting him and told him to get himself right over here. And he's America's number one all-naturopathic doctor, Peter Glidden.
Pastor, is that all?
Right.
Letting me be here. It really is a privilege. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
We have a lot to do. We're going to start out with prayer because I wanted to say thanks to all the folks that helped and prayed for Kevin, who had fallen and knocked himself out. And well, he's doing a lot better. He's doing a lot better now after being laying there for 5 days in his apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he without eating or drinking, you know. He was, praise the good Lord for the VA, because it was one of those folks in the VA that wondered where he had been, why, and so they went to check on him and found him.
Wow.
And so I want to pray tonight, though, for a dear, dear friend of mine for many years, and of course, Richard, you were good friends with Pastor Haig, Fred Haig, with his wife Sandy. Pastor Fred was, I mean, he was, well, what do you say? I mean, you don't get any better than that.
He was a good trooper, yeah, absolutely, for the Lord, yeah.
Yeah, and he was, and so I think you want to get a little closer to your mic there a little bit.
Okay.
Pull it over there to you. Anyhow, we've been so close for so many years, and I've been watching Sandy over, I would say, probably the last 10 years, where she's...
That's Fred's widow, so
yeah.
Just so everyone understands, Fred had passed away, he went home. What, a couple years ago, I guess it has been?
Yeah, it's been about 5 years now.
5 years, okay, yeah.
And here, and Sandy and Fred, you know, those two, you know, you just, they were like joined to the hip. Wherever you would see one, the other would be there. I mean, it was a great couple. And I've been with Sandy, and Sandy was a real staunch pro-life activist, very staunch pro-life activist. She was helping me out there, saving babies for years, for many years. And but I noticed when she started starting losing it, dementia.
Yeah, deteriorating.
It started a little at a time. And now she just texted me. She was hoping that she was going to go home. She was thinking she was going to be able to go back home. Now has Alzheimer's. And, I just want to ask the folks out there, listen, prayer can do it, and prayer is the best medicines out there. I have seen many miracles in my lifetime. And, you know, God's in the business. He specializes in miracles, folks.
Yes.
So join with me in prayer as we pray for Sandy, because she texted me and she thought she was going to go home tomorrow. But instead, she's leaving where she's at, but she's going to another place for memory. And I think you go to one of those places.
Yeah, our ministry covers a memory care unit, so I'm very familiar with those dear, sweet people.
So I just want to hold her up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Sandy up, Lord, and just ask, Lord God, that you would touch her. I'm going to ask you for a miracle, Lord, for her. She's been faithful and all of these years, and her children love her so much. And she's physically fit. She gets up, she runs all over the place, and they have to watch her because they're, you know, afraid for her just to up and leave the facility. So, Lord God, I'm just going to ask that you would touch her, give her, and restore her. Just restore her completely, Father God. We ask this that and her family that's been taking care of her, that you would hedge them around about and bless them. And, Lord, touch it, that you would touch her, bless her in every area where she can receive that blessing. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you fellas, if you would pray for Lisa here, because she's been getting weaker and weaker.
Okay, you want to start? Go ahead.
Certainly. Amen. Father God, we just come before you, Father God. First of all, just thanking you, Father God, for just being sovereign, for being in control. We want to thank you that we're not just praying to the air, Father God, but we know, Father God, that you are a Father that hears our petitions, Lord God. In fact, your word declares that we all ought to always pray and not to faint. And so, Father God, we just lift up little Lisa before you, Father God, your servant, Lord God. We know that not only are you the author and finisher of our faith, but God, you are our creator, Lord God, and your word declares that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made, Father. So we petition the throne tonight for little Lisa, where her strength seems to be going down, Father God. We ask, Lord God, right now that you might touch her body, Lord God, that you might give her your strength right now, that strength to rise up, Lord God. Father God, and we are just reminded of how good you are, how many times you have healed so many throughout scripture. And so, Father God, we are just asking you for that same compassion tonight, Lord God. We're reminded as well, Lord God, of what you told Paul, even in situations where there isn't always a clear answer or sometimes the answer that we're looking for, you said that my grace is sufficient. And so, Father God, we also ask, Lord God, for sufficiency of your grace, Lord God. But we know that you are able. And so, Father God, we ask, Lord God, that you would raise Lisa up, Lord God, that she might continue to do the work that you have called her to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, we just continue that prayer, Lord, just to your healing hand upon her, Lisa. And we just thank you so very much, God, for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. And we know these bodies don't last forever and they wear out. And we understand that, Lord. But we ask for your strength here. And yes. She has trouble with the heart and the lungs. And we would just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, and let her know that you're there with her, and you are doing things for her, Lord. And we also ask her to ask for a calmness and a peace that passes all understanding in dealing with whatever you put before us, Lord. And we also want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering the prayers with Kevin Etchelman. Thank you, God, for thank you for that. He's doing so much better, and we know that was because of the prayers that went out all through the airwaves here. And we just thank you for those blessings, and thank you for that. And we also lift up Pastor Sanders.
Yes.
He didn't mention anything about his health, but he's still having some trouble with the lungs, Lord. And he's supposed to go in the have a check tomorrow. So we would just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just touch him. We, of course, would ask for a healing for any of these people, miraculous healing. We'll take whatever you'll give us, Lord. But also, Lord, when he goes in to see the doctors, we just pray that you be the doctor's mind and you be the doctor's hands while they're working on him and evaluating him and checking him, Lord, so that if he's to be taken care of for medical reasons, then we just pray that you would guide those doctors to do things that would be most productive to have him back to his normal portion of health. And we just thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers, and thank you for loving us so much that we can come to you and pray. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard. We're going to get it right into Isaiah chapter 32, what we've been preaching on this week. The title of the message was "An Enemy Within Can't Be Ignored," and a lot of emphasis being on the midterm elections coming up. You see what's happening. The Democrats out there have got a momentum where they're turning towards it. They're electing in these smaller towns mayors that are communists, hardcore communists and Muslims. What happened when New York City, when America's largest city, and I read some of the statements that were being made from these people. In fact, let me go back here and just start with that intro I had. January 21st, 2026, a clear and frightful message was being broadcast across America and the world. The year starts out with a communist Muslim antichrist declaring that he had captured the largest city in America. Today, and this is when he got up to speak. Here's what I call him, Moron DeMondi, what he said. He said, "Today, rugged individualism is replaced with collectivism in New York City."
Wow.
"And here, no more rugged individualism. We have to, everything's got to be the collective. We can capture America's largest city, where the United Nations is housed, where Wall Street is housed, where the World's Council of Religions are housed. And we can take down every and all the cities," is what they were saying. They had these speakers. "We can tax the rich. We can grow government. We can redistribute the wealth by diversity, equity, and inclusion. We can eliminate privately owned property. And we can all have one purse." Remember that verse? That's right out of Proverbs.
Yeah,
that's one of the top verses in communism there. And so we're going through Scripture using the verses that identify communism. God knew it was coming, obviously, like everything else, and he identified it very, very clearly in Proverbs chapter 1. And so we're going to pick it up in another passage of Scripture that looks into it. They like to call themselves the liberal, okay? And that word liberal has a complete different connotation than what it used to have. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 32. Let's take it verse by verse. And Richard, if you have any, or Peter, if you have any questions, just jump in.
Very good.
All righty. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Now we know what period this is going to be, because let's listen to the next verse. And a man shall be as in a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, who do we know that is rivers of water in dry places and a rock in a weary land?
Jesus,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then we're talking about then a period of time that's called the Millennial Kingdom. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. So mm-hmm. what is he talking about? You know, you can, Scripture talks about those that have eyes to see, but they can't, in other words, they can't discern.
Right.
Right.
And
God,
so he's saying here that during that millennial kingdom, mm-hmm. a lot of the things that we don't quite understand now, we're going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. In other words, again, same thing. It goes to discernment.
Listen, yeah, pay attention.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he says here, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Now, we've all known people that stammer and stutter a lot. And I whenever I read that verse, I think about the Jimmy. Jimmy was a little fellow who was, he wanted to be a preacher, a pastor so bad. He wanted to be a preacher, but he spoke so softly. You could, you know, he's very soft spoken. But he was very studious. And he was gifted. His gift was definitely not preaching, but his gift was teaching. And when God gives us a gift, should we? Who knows better what we're made for, God or us?
God.
So when He gives us a gift, should we be satisfied with that gift?
We better be, yes.
Yeah.
And so here he says, "The rest shall understand knowledge." And so, what are we talking about? Do we know people that are very spontaneous that we know people that just do things just without really thinking them out.
Yeah.
Very spontaneous.
Spontaneous, yeah.
But here he's saying that's not going to be the case. People are going to think. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be rash and make quick and decisions here.
Or speak too quickly or say something too quickly mm-hmm. like Peter did so many times with Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now listen to this. The vile person shall be no more called a liberal.
Mm.
Nor the churl said to be bountiful. Now listen, when this was written, the word liberal had a positive connotation. A word liberal, when this was written, a liberal was someone who was generous with his own money, mm-hmm. with his own property, mm-hmm. with his own food, okay, and own liberty. Okay, today, a liberal is generous with other people's money, right?
Right.
And other people's freedoms, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's talking about back, but when the Lord sets up the millennial kingdom, the definition of a liberal will go back to what it used to be. Mm. He says here, the vile person, and boy, that fits. If you look at what's happening out there in the streets, this mayor of Minneapolis, he gets up there and giving a speech, he's dropping the F-bomb. Mm-hmm. His mouth is a sewer. His mouth is a sewer, okay? I mean, and more of that's happening out there today. These people in the media today, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
And so here he goes. Here, for the vile person shall be no more called a liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. Do you know what a churl is?
Miser?
Churl's a miser. Churl's someone who's stingy.
Yeah.
We all know them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For the vile person shall will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. So that's what we're seeing right now. So he's talking about prior to the millennial kingdom, this is what the liberal will be. He'll be a vile person. He will speak villainy. His heart will work iniquity. He'll practice hypocrisy. We have all of these clips. You've got Chucky Schumer. You've got Hillary, you've got Nancy Pelosi, all of these people talking about how Maduro should have been arrested. Maduro should, they put a Joe Biden put a $25 million bounty on Maduro. Now those very same people are all saying that what Trump did was he violated, he arrested the leader of a sovereign country. It was an act of war. The hypocrisy is unbelievable, right?
Yes.
We have them, the very same people. We've been playing the clips, talking about Joe Biden especially, talking about illegal aliens, why they should never be allowed here, okay? We've got Bill Clinton giving this full speech on we've got to close the borders and not let these illegals in. Barack Obama, actually. And now all of a sudden...
Well, yeah. You've said it many times on air, is if it was anybody but Trump, it wouldn't be a big deal. Mm-hmm. But because it's Trump, no matter what he does, they're going to object to it. Even if they authorized it or endorsed it before over and over again, because it's Trump, they're not going to, nobody's going to like it.
Well, here... You would never know it if you listen to what they call the mainstream media. Mm. But now they've changed that to legacy because they're no longer in mainstream. But if you listen to them, you think that the entire country is up in arms about ICE.
Yeah.
That everyone's against ICE. But in fact, the facts are about 80% of the people are in favor mm-hmm. of what Trump is doing.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. And his ratings are higher, but you'd never know that by listening to the fake news media.
Right.
And so with that, we're going to go to a quick clip here, and then we're going to go to America's all-natural, naturopath, Peter Glidden.
You think he has something that can heal the Democrats?
Yeah, I think he does.
Have him work on it during the break here.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank the gentleman. Salute him for his work on this. Rise in support of the amendment. First of all, Social Security card is used from one end of America to the other as an identification card right now. Who are we kidding? If you want to pass a law and says it shouldn't be, I would ask the chairman and the distinguished minority member of the Social Security committee to pass that law. But let's admit the truth. Everywhere people go, they're asked for a Social Security card. In fact, one way to prove you're a bona fide person who can have a job is to ask for a driver's license and a Social Security card. This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here. And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
Gentleman's time has expired.
Boy, do I wish his time has expired. But now, that was Chuckie Schumer, and he was talking about having an ID, a Social Security number. And if you listen to the whole thing where before you can register to vote or to vote, you have to have an ID. That was Chuckie Schumer. The very same people now that tell you if you require someone to have an ID to vote, you're a racist. Mm-hmm. It's only you're a racist. The hypocrisy is just amazing, absolutely amazing with these people. But anyhow, with that, let's go to America's naturopathic doctor, Peter Glidden.
Well, thanks so much for having me back, and Happy New Year to everybody. A couple things I'd like to start with. Number one, I didn't know that y'all were so sick. And number two, there are solutions. And number three, the medicine that I and my colleagues practice is based on natural law. Laws which are inviolate. Laws of healing which exist, whether you believe in them or not. And the laws of healing are a lot like aerodynamics, right? There are laws which dictate how an airplane can fly. And if you pay attention to those laws, you can fly the airplane. And if you don't pay attention to those laws, you will crash the airplane. It's no different here. There are rules of the road which apply if we are to attempt to heal somebody with these therapeutics. Now, you are absolutely right. There are a number of ways to help the body to heal itself. Prayer is an extremely effective way to do that. Fasting is an extremely effective way to do that. Ayurvedic medicine, naturopathic therapeutics, botanical medicine, medical nutrition. Arguably, one of the most proven and most scientific, most inductively rational systems of healing medicine that exist on planet Earth by the use of medicinal substances is homeopathy. If I were the king of the world, homeopathic medicine would be taught in every medical school in this country, and every state would have at least 100 homeopathic medical hospitals. And then everything in the world would change, because homeopathic medicine is based upon inviolate natural laws. They exist, whether you know about them or not, and they will help the body to heal if they are correctly applied. But herein lies the rub, because the homeopathic treatment, healing treatment, is not based upon the diagnosis. It is based upon the person. I could have identical triplets. They all have the same genes. They all live in the same house. They all eat the same food. They all have the same stress, and they all have strep throat. They could have each given the bug to the other kid. So it's the same bug in all their bodies, and they all have strep throat. And in order to recover with homeopathic medicine, to actually heal, they would need three different medicines. Because we don't treat strep throat, we treat the person. We don't treat pneumonia, we treat the person. We don't treat arthritis, we treat the person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So homeopathic medicine is an extremely effective system of medicine, and I want you all to take out a piece of paper or something to write with right now, the people in the studio. And then I'm going to be in touch with you tomorrow or the next day, and we're going to work this out. So here's what I need to know in order to fly this airplane of healing. There are laws, the laws of homeopathic healing are very discreet, and they need to be attended to the same way that you need to attend to the laws of aerodynamics when you're flying an airplane. So for all of the conditions that are bothering you, I want the pastor, we're not going to do this live on air. This is homework for you to do, and this is homework for lovely Lisa to do as well. And I'm also going to tell you what to do for the Alzheimer's person, okay? So these are the things that I need you to pay attention to over the next 24 hours. Number one, for each of your complaints, maybe it's difficulty breathing, maybe it's a cough, maybe it's a headache, maybe it's a fever, maybe it's a chill. I have no idea what it is, but I want you to write down on a legal sheet of paper, on a piece of paper somewhere, all of your complaints like a laundry list. And then for each of the complaints, here's what I need to know. Number one, what does it feel like? If it's a pain, you don't just tell me, oh, I have a headache. I need you to describe it to me. Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it ripping? Is it tearing? Is it throbbing? Is it steady? Is it, what's it feel like? You need to be able to describe the symptom to me. What does it feel like? If it's a cough, is it a dry cough? Is it a loose cough? Is it an exhausting cough? Is it a machine gun cough? What is it like? You need to be able to describe it to me. Number two, where anatomically do you feel it? If it's a pain, you don't just say, oh, I have a headache. Well, is it in the right temple? Is it in the left temple? Is it in the forehead? Is it in the back of the head? Where anatomically do you feel it? This is very important. Number three, when do you feel it? When does it happen? With the shortness of breath or with the cough or with the fatigue or with the headache or whatever the heck it is, when does it happen? Is it all the time? Is it constant? Is it only when you go upstairs? Is it only when you go downstairs? When does it happen? Number four, what makes it worse? What will aggravate the condition? What makes it worse? Sitting down, standing up, eating, drinking, talking, lying. It wakes me from bed every night at 3 a.m. like clockwork. What makes it worse? Number four or five, I lost my track of numbers. What makes it better? What takes the edge off? Well, you know, son of a gun, Doc, I've got this cough. It's a dry cough. It happens from the pit of my throat, right underneath my Adam's apple. And it's much, much worse if I go outside into cold air. As a matter of fact, if I stand in hot, steamy shower water, it feels really good. If I drink a hot drink, it feels really good. If I drink a cold drink, I'm coughing my lungs out. Whatever it is, and it's going to be different for everybody. So, number one, to review, what does it feel like? Number two, where anatomically do you feel it? And if it's a cough, right, is it from the top of your throat? Is it from the middle of your throat? Is it from the pit of your throat near your clavicle? Is it from the middle of your chest? Is it an irritation from the right side of the chest or the left side of the chest, et cetera? Number three, when does it happen? Number four, what makes it feel better? Number five, what makes it feel worse? If you can get back to me with that information, those details, the chances are high that I can fly this plane and that I can prescribe a curative homeopathic medicine, which will help you tremendously. Now, if you go to a conventional medical doctor for any of this stuff and they do diagnostic discovery, I need to know the details. Is it the right upper lobe of the lung that's affected? Is it the top of the left lung that's affected? Is it the bottom of the right lung that's affected? I need to know the details of whatever diagnostic discovery they make. And if we can gather these data points, like Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson snooping around a crime scene, then these data points will help me to be able to figure out how to fly this plane and what medicine you specifically need in order to get on the other side of this. That's really the long and the short of it. And this is a very unique system of medicine. Nobody is familiar with this type of medicine, and that's because we have all grown up inside of a one-trick pony system of medicine, which is MD-directed allopathic medicine, which is really great for trauma care, surgery when it's necessary, military field medicine. That's the wheelhouse of conventional medicine. But it's a non-curative therapeutic. It actually does not, its therapeutics for chronic disease are inconsistent with the laws of nature. So rarely is anything cured, right? The heartburn isn't cured, it's managed. The blood pressure isn't cured, it's managed. You can maybe get on the other side of pneumonia for 2 months with an antibiotic, but then it comes back. And it's a system of medicine that's good for certain things, but for things like this, it's not so much. You know, we need to take the wrong dog to the right dog to the hunt, right? We need the right tool for the job. So if you can be mindful of these things by way of homework and then get in touch with me tomorrow or the next day, whatever's convenient with you, and you all know how to get in touch with me, then I will help you to sort this out. And I encourage you to do that because you would not believe the things that I have seen people recover from in 37 years of clinical work. And it's not because it's magic. It's not because I'm a genius. It's not because of anything other than I have learned and my colleagues have learned how to apply the laws of healing. It is no different than learning how to fly an airplane. There are some pilots that all they can do is take off and fly around in circles and land. And there are other pilots that can do loop-de-loops and barrel rolls and all kinds of things, right? How do they do that? Well, it's because they've become extremely adept at manipulating the laws of aerodynamics. So holistic physicians with, you know, clinical chops and track records have become very adept at simulating the curative laws of nature. So I would encourage both of you, Pastor and lovely Lisa, to take me up on this and let me help you. But these are the details I need. I don't need to know what the diagnosis is. Well, it helps if I know what the diagnosis is, but that's really only 10% of it. What I really need to know are the details of your symptoms, because the keys to the cure of the condition lay in the details of the subjective symptoms. For instance, with that strep throat, if the pain was on the right side of the throat, the kid would need a different medicine than if the pain was on the left side of the throat. Well, that's interesting. If the pain felt better from a cold drink, he would need a different medicine than if the pain felt worse from a cold drink. It's interesting. This is a really unique way of thinking about illness, and it's the correct way of thinking about illness. But because of the medical monopoly that's existed for 100 years, which has told everybody that homeopathic medicine is pseudoscientific and it's quackery, that's a lie. That is a lie brought to the table by the evil one. We are in an inside-out, upside-down Alice in Wonderland world, for goodness sakes. So there's room in the world for all types of medicine. When we are attempting to cure a condition with an effective medicine based on natural law, then these are the details that we need. So I would encourage the both of you to do your homework and then get back to me, and let's see if we can't fly this airplane into the wonderful world of healing. Okay?
All right. I want to be on a Boeing 707. Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
With Lisa and I, we have two totally different situations. She's had her situation from her youth. With me, there's extinguishing circumstances, you know, where you have a...
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But you have to understand that it's when it comes to the genesis of illness, it's always about two things. It is the strength of the organism versus the strength of the stress. And there are stressors which will knock everybody, you know, into the world of disease, regardless of how strong they are. For instance, a bullet fired from a gun, if it hits your body, it's going to create a symptom, no matter how strong or robust you are. There are stressors which will knock everybody over. That's not the point. The point is, what are we going to do to fix it? And how we fix it is by applying the laws of healing, which are inviolate laws of nature. which a handful of us know how to operate. And it doesn't matter what the cause is. The only time it matters what the cause is if you cannot extricate yourself from it. Like, you know, if you have bronchitis and you work in a coal mine without a mask on and you're going to continue to work in the coal mine without a mask on, then, well, sorry, I can't help you. If you have an inflamed liver, but you're not going to stop drinking whiskey every day, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you, right? But usually the stressors are of minor importance. What is of maximum importance is what the heck are we going to do to stimulate the body's built-in, wait for it, God-given ability to fix itself.
All right, very good.
Listen, all of our bodies have that.
In my case, I'll talk to you more about this tomorrow, but in my case, those stressors are not natural, normal stressors. There's outside, put it this way, there's outside powers and principalities and forces that have targeted certain of us. And, you know, I know that to be a fact, but I'll tell you more about that later on when
All
I
right,
talk to you.
And we strengthen your body to deal with it. We strengthen your body to deal with it because there's nothing, very few things that are beyond the body's ability to get over, very few things, especially if you have God on your side. I mean, that's the ace up the sleeve. So when you combine these two things, that's when the magic happens. And so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All righty. With that, the folks out there, they've been missing you. I mean, you got quite a fan base out there, so I'm going to open the phone lines. And I'm hoping, you know, there's been strange situations happening. I'd especially like to hear from some people in Chicago. I know that we were that the station has been down there for like a week. And so the phone lines are open, and folks, we want to know if you're hearing us out there, because we've had, there's some bad people that don't want us on the radio. They don't like this radio program. And of course, yeah, we know that Big Pharma definitely does not like Peter Glidden. And so...
Let me tell you before we tune into the first call what to do for the Alzheimer's situation. Okay, it'll be real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the human body is like a battery. The brain is the negative pole. The liver is the positive pole. The stomach makes the acid, and the bones provide the base. So there's an intimate connection between the liver and the brain. So in order to have a healthy brain, we have to have a healthy liver. And so anybody who has any cognitive decline whatsoever, I don't care if it's Sundowner syndrome or one of the 18 different types of dementia or frank Alzheimer's disease, which, by the way, can only be diagnosed postmortem. You can only know definitively if someone has Alzheimer's by dissecting the brain. Maybe it's Alzheimer's. Maybe it's a weird type of dementia. Who the heck knows? Nobody knows. So we're going to try to rally the body's ability to fix itself. So what do? We give the liver support. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do the healthy foundation pack, one healthy foundation pack plus one bottle of a very highly concentrated B like baby complex vitamin. It's called de-stress, D like David stress, you know, like detoxify, demystify, de-stress, loaded with extra B vitamins, which are essential here. So the healthy foundation pack plus the de-stress. Plus, for 21 days in a row, you do a fresh squeezed beet juice. So you go to the grocery store, you get organic beets if you can get them. If you can't, just get regular beets. You cut the greens off of them, you put them in a juicer, and you drink 3 ounces of fresh squeezed beet juice every day for 21 days. Now, to make that taste better, you can add Granny Smith apples and carrots to it. I don't care how much apple juice or carrot juice you add to it, but it has to be 3 ounces more or less of beet juice every day for 21 days. If you do the beet juice drink and the healthy foundation pack over the course of a month, your liver will start to optimize its function, because the liver is the only organ in the human body that can regenerate itself. And this protocol stimulates the regeneration of liver cells, and as the liver gets better, the brain will get better. And the last thing for anybody with dementia to do is to completely stop right now, hard stop, no more statin drugs, and do not be afraid of cholesterol, because cholesterol is not the antichrist. You've been lied to about that as well. There's no relationship between high cholesterol and heart disease. You've been lied to that as well. 90% of the part of the brain that's affected by Alzheimer's disease is made from cholesterol. So when you drive cholesterol into the ditch with statin drugs, fat-free diets, you know, and exercise, which is interesting, your brain dries up. So you need to eat foods that are high in cholesterol. You need to stop taking statin drugs. Do the Healthy Foundation Pack, the de-stress, and the 21-day beet juice protocol. Keep your fingers crossed and pray to God every night.
All right, very good. My brain's still good, but my face, I think, is drying up.
Oh, dear.
Something's going on. Here's the
That'll
thing.
Happen. It must have been a Democrat that moved in. Democrat move in next door.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Peter. Sandy, this lady I was talking about, she was a health nut. Richard, you know Sandy. Mm-hmm. This woman is, I mean, she was always after me, telling me you can't eat that, you shouldn't eat this. And she was a health nut, okay? And so that, I know.
Yeah, but nobody taught her how to fly the airplane.
Probably not, but I'm going to make sure that her family listens to this portion of the radio program tomorrow. It gets replayed.
Right, that's my whole Very good. That's my whole point, that there are, you know, you have to know how to fly the plane. And that's not easy to do. I've been doing this for 37 years, man. I'm just figuring out how to fly the plane. And that's no lie. So, you know, this is a big deal, man. Learning how to be effective in the application of curative medical therapeutics is not easy. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. But in any event, that's a long and
well. That's why we've got you doing it.
Beat a dead horse.
All right.
Well, all right. I'm all in. Let's go.
You ready to get one of your favorite callers? We're going to New York, so we must be on the air in New York tonight. And it's Clifford.
What's underneath the propaganda, as they say? I want to bring up the food pyramid because it's in the news today. I was listening to one audio book, you know, last year, The Big Fat Surprise. And this was recommended in the book, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, reference that. But this was a woman that she was just basically, I think she worked possibly for the New York Times or one of the magazines here in New York, and she was giving reviews in restaurants, and she was eating a lot of like steak and things like that, and she ended up losing 10 pounds. And then that got her interested in about how fat foods actually might not be fattening, and the reverse might be true. But in that, she talks a lot about like the politics, heavily researched, of the food pyramid, and that seems to be bogus to a degree. And that big food study with the nurses seems to be, the associations claimed in that are very shaky. But so that would be my main question, Peter. What's your thoughts on the food pyramid, being that Kennedy is instituting changes in that? Then from another book, What Your Doctor Does Not Know About Nutritional Medicine May Be Killing You, grape seed extract, he gives far and away the most important supplement, and behind that he has coenzyme Q10, which is now available in ubiquinol, which is better for people over a certain age, supposedly.
So what this all boils down to is you have to question the source, and you're absolutely right. That because I'm getting a lot of feedback here, but that because of the medical monopoly and the influence of Big Pharma on everything, the food recommendations have just been wrong. And they've been wrong, in my point of view, on purpose. It wasn't due to stupidity. It was done on purpose in order to encourage people to eat food that is going to make them sick. The biggest example of this was in the early 1960s. Doctors were encouraging people to stop eating butter and start eating margarine. And this was from a coalition that had been built between the American Heart Association and Procter & Gamble in order to sell more Crisco and more margarine. And it generated millions of cases of heart disease, right? So it's a big, bad voodoo daddy brought to you by unscrupulous people who care more about making money and keeping you sick and in the system than actually making you healthy. Now, you know, if I wanted to learn about fly fishing, I would not go to a plumber. Even though the plumber works with water, it's a different thing. And I, you know, he's the wrong dog for the hunt. If I wanted to learn, if I had a problem with the plumbing, you know, my plumbing's backed up, I'm not going to call the electrician. So when it comes to medical nutrition and which foods are best, you need to lean on the naturopathic physicians, because we literally wrote the book on medical nutrition. And we've been telling people for the last 50 years that meat is good. Dairy is good unless you have a sensitivity or an allergy to it. And that grains really should be eaten to a minimum amount, and grains that contain gluten should be completely excluded from your diet 100%. So Bobby Kennedy's on the right track here. But, you know, from my point of view, it's extremely frustrating, because this is what I've been telling people to do for 37 years and nobody's listened. So I think his recommendations are good, but there are some distinctions that need to be made. So, for instance, if you're going to eat red meat, go ahead, but you can only eat it if it's cooked rare or medium rare. Well-done red meat will hurt you, and well-done red meat is loaded with a chemical called a heterocyclic amine, which causes cancer. So if you're going to eat meat, eat it rare or medium rare, period, hard stop. Also, if you're going to eat meat, you can crock pot it or you can cook it in a soup, and that's okay. But you don't want to eat well-done red meat, because if you eat well-done red meat, you're going to die, sucker. And number two, when it comes to meat, you don't want to have any meat that has nitrates added to it, because nitrates also are carcinogenic, and that's a big bad voodoo daddy. Most deli meats have nitrates sprayed on them to keep them nice and pretty looking in the deli case. So if you're going to have bacon, you want to have nitrate-free bacon. If you're going to have a turkey or ham, you want to have nitrate-free turkey or ham. It's really pretty simple. These are the distinctions that everybody needs to know. And they're all on my website, by the way, and I've been advertising this health approach for the last 37 years. So when you do the right thing, then the body responds, right? The body's not a lot different than an automobile. If you put diesel fuel in an unleaded engine, the car's going to run like crap if it runs at all. It's the wrong fuel for the automobile. Well, guess what? The human body is the same way. If you put the wrong stuff into the tank on a regular basis, something is going to break. And it's not because you have a bad gene or you have a voodoo curse. It's because you've been eating the wrong food all your life and you just didn't know it. And the people that have told you these false truths, I hope they all burn in hell, quite frankly. And I want a front row seat, because I think they did it on purpose.
Well, yeah, you kind of wonder about that.
Started.
All right. Well, thanks, Cliff, and have a good one. Now, we're coming up to a break, but we have Katie out in Canton. Katie, you're in the air, but we're going to be taking a break here in just a matter of a very few seconds, so you'll just have to hang in over there. We're going to get down to where Style does a countdown. He does this better than anybody. So whenever you're ready, you don't usually start with 20. He starts with 10, right? Okay. Are you ready to start with the 10?
10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Told you he did a good one.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.